Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf.
And I'm CG Erickson.
And today we have amazing guest, Ty Cooper is here.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, y'all
We've got a lot of good things to discuss, but first, let's discuss your film.
Oh yeah, I'd love to. But y'all don't have the, y'all don't have the budget to have the button that you hear the applause when you press the button.
Y'all got, you know, the big what? Mic. That's not actually in the budget yet, but like, I can't wait. I can't wait till we're on the map like this. See, this year on the budget was this big ass microphone that's right in front of our face. But next year we'll have the button. Wait a sec. Maybe I can get the button right on the computer. Yeah, maybe I have an app for that.
You should have something like that. Actually.
It's up there.
Maybe that is in the budget, Ty. I'm glad you said something.
That's my contribution, man. I try to, you know, say something.
I mean, anything that we could keep it right, keep it tight over here on Invasion of Privacy, that's what we're trying to do.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
So what's up, man? But I had a great my debut premiere, man, was my debut screening was this past weekend, man, and it was amazing, bro. It was amazing. Yeah.
And your film was
where was it at, Ty?
It was in Charlottesville, Virginia. So we I had the screening this past Friday and Saturday, and both sold out screenings. The first one sold out in 9 days, about a few months ago when I put it up. And then the next one sold out probably like about a month later. And so it's been great, man. And the response was amazing.
Do you get up and say something at the screenings, like before or after the movie or not?
Yeah, but before I always introduce it, tell people thank you, my co-producers, and you know, just thank certain people. Then we have the screening, and then after the screening, it's a panel discussion, filmmakers panel discussion with me, the lead actor, a couple actors, co-producer. Yeah, so it's a panel discussion afterwards for about 45 minutes, 50 minutes.
Now, Ty, when you coming up our way?
I'm trying to do February. I'm trying to start the tour in February. So
sweet.
I'm booking. I'm looking at AMC. So AMC and I are talking about some logistics. The one on 86th Street in Manhattan.
Okay.
I think it's Broadway, I think, in that area. So I'm looking at February. I'm looking at Richmond, Virginia, because that's where I filmed the movie at. So Richmond, Norfolk, D.C., and New York in February is the goal.
Yeah, dude, I can't wait to get sloppy and come up and watch your movie, bro. Just kidding, man. I'll be on my best behavior.
Yeah, be on your best behavior. But don't do nothing at me, man, if you don't like it.
No. Yeah. We're just in there, up there to support our boy, man.
Yeah, now people liked it, man. People were kind of speechless. And I didn't know how to take it at first. I'm like, they were so floored by the quality of it, the story. Some people cried when they're supposed to cry. Some people laugh when they're supposed to laugh. So I didn't know how to take it because I'm like, yo, why are y'all so shocked? Like I don't put out good shit. Like, I didn't even understand what was happening, right? They were shocked. People was like, yo, another filmmaker, friend of mine, his name is Chris Perina. He does a lot of documentaries. He came up to me after it was over, after the panel discussion, and he was like stuttering the whole nine. Like, yo, like, oh, yeah, yo, can I get a hug? I'm like, yo, you thought that it was going to be some trash. Like, why do you even come here? Why you spend $20 if you thought it was going to be trash?
Aww.
And but I appreciate the love by everybody, man. They really showed out, man. I've still been getting, if you go to my Facebook page, I've still been getting people like just chiming in, talking about the experience and the movie and the subject matter and just certain things. You know what I mean? I had to erase a couple because they was kind of like, they kind of told what the movie's about. I don't want no one to talk about what the movie is about. But they was like talking about, oh, baby, when she did this, when she did that. I'm like, yo, whoa. You inbox that to me. You don't put that on public, on public display.
Let's state, because we haven't yet, the film's name is Amanda.
Amanda, yeah. It's Amanda, yeah.
And it's about a woman who's an artist, right? Do you want to do another quick? You explained it on the last time you were on.
Yeah,
yeah. Want to give a quick explanation again?
No, I appreciate it. It's Amanda. It's a story about a young woman who mother died when she was 9 years old from cancer. She's 28 years old now. And as she's navigating the world, she's waiting for her work to get curated in the art gallery. Mm. And but while she's waiting on the last piece, I mean, to finish, complete the last piece for the curation, it's a boy meets girl situation. So she meets, you know, she meets a boy that she ends up falling in love with, but she's now forced to deal with the trauma that she hasn't dealt with since she was 9 years old. So I talk about, it's basically about trauma, community, love, and art, you know, and when it comes down to trauma, you know, the way people deal with trauma, many of us don't deal with it the way we should deal with it. We don't get help. And, you know, many of us, we suffer from trauma. And what happens with trauma that's not dealt with, it always picks its ugly head out at the most inopportune moment to say, hey, I'm still here. And you haven't dealt with me. You know what I'm saying? And that what causes her to make some decisions that's controversial.
Got it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And like CG was saying, let us know when there's a showing out here.
Yeah.
And congrats on that.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. You know, it was a big deal for me because this is the next level. I've created other films, but this is like the next level for me. You know, it's that couple of notches up as far as budget. I spent like 30 something grand to make it. But that 30 something thousand, which is small for, you know, a movie, you know, relatively. But 4,000 of that was because we shot during COVID. So wow, I put everybody in the bubble in the hotel. So my film team came down from New York. My DP, Anthony DeRose, Justin, my Steadicam op, my AC, and my assistant director came down from New York. So, and I had people, actors coming from all over the place. I put everybody in the Hilton downtown Richmond. And so my bill was like 4,000 and change. So, you know, as a filmmaker, you want that money to go into, you want all money to go into production, because I had to cut scenes because it started snowing. So we would have lost the continuity. So I had to cut certain scenes and stuff. So having the money, that 4 grand, I could have had another day, you know what I mean? With everyone. So it is what it is though. It still came out, you know, people liked it. So,
you know. How long did you shoot for, Ty?
It was a 5-day shoot. Full-time shoot.
Oh, you got the whole thing done in 5 days.
Yeah.
He was on a tight schedule.
Yeah, it's a 45-minute piece. So the movie is 45 minutes.
Right. Okay.
So that's why when I do these screening events, it's a 45-minute screening followed by a 45 to like 50-minute panel discussion. So when I present this event, it's almost 2 hours. So it's pretty chunky. So someone will be willing to pay $20 for that kind of experience instead of $20 just to see a 45-minute film, you know? So that's why I do it. But I also have two versions. I have a 25-minute version, which I'm sending to the film festivals. Mm. But the 45-minute version, I'm taking on tour around the country.
That's awesome.
So the 25-minute ones, that's what you send to the film festivals?
Like, yeah.
And then, like, all the film festivals?
Not all, because you end up spending $1 million on some of these film festival submission fees. It costs a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know about all that. Oh, all right.
Oh, yeah. I just sent one, like for instance, Sundance costs $80 to send, you know, to submit. At the late time, I sent it in September. So it's kind of late. It's like late deadline. I just sent one to somewhere that was like $60. So you imagine 80, 100, 60, 40, 30, you know, just, before you know, you'll spend $5,000 easily. So you got to be, careful with it, you know, because a lot of them, you know, you could submit a film to a festival, pay the submission fees, but then you don't know if someone even watched it, because the submission fees is a big, revenue source, you know what I'm saying, for a festival. So I know when I had my festival, I created a festival some time ago. And I probably made about 11,000 just from festival submission, people submitting to me, you know? So
that's how you gotta do it. You gotta throw your own damn festival.
Exactly.
That's how you do things. You figured it out early.
Yeah, I created a festival and I still have a short film series where people submit, but I watch every single film. So if you submit to my short film series, I do watch your film. If it's bad audio, I don't watch it no more than probably 5 minutes. But if it's a good, you know, if it's pretty decent, then I watch the whole thing. You know, I can't listen past bad audio. It disturbs me. I do want to say one thing. You guys are comedians. So Amanda does have funny parts to it. So we're not going to have your podcast all dreary about some cancer shit and all this. Like, it does have funny parts to it. People do laugh throughout. Nice. Here and there, because I have a couple of characters that go back and forth. It's like some bantering between characters, and particularly the boyfriend. He's 25 years old, so no one really respects him. So they always give him a hard time. So there's some laughter there as well. You know, awesome. I'm trying to bring your.
I believe you wrote it, right, Ty?
Yeah, I wrote, directed, and produced it. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, oh, yeah, no, yeah, you ain't so bringing this podcast down, Ty. You're bringing it into the stratosphere.
Okay, all right. I appreciate that.
So this next topic, I mean, I just want to talk about it. I'm not saying, like, it's the happiest topic, but it's the whole Astro World thing that I'm sure you heard about, Ty.
Why are you sure you heard about it? Because he's black?
Oh, my. Why would you do that to
Sorry,
me?
Sorry, I'm just joking, Ty. My bad. Off color.
Sorry. He's always testing me.
I fuck with her too much.
I don't know how many. Yeah, no, I was going to say something inappropriate. This is a serious matter. Let me get my head in the game. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
You can say whatever you want here.
Nah. Because nobody's going to come and see Amanda. No one's going to come and see Amanda if I made this joke. And it's connected to Astro World, so I don't want to do it. So go ahead. No,
okay. Yeah, after the screening of Amanda, you can tell whatever jokes you want.
Okay, hold on. Let me I'm sure most of the listeners have heard about it, but let me just try to briefly explain what the Astro World thing was. So it's a festival that was put on by Travis Scott. There were other performers on it. I know Drake was on there. I don't know the other artists. It was in Texas, I believe Houston. And Live Nation helped put it on. And it was a tragedy where people surged to the front. It got rowdy, people surged, and people were suffocating, getting crushed. A lot of people actually were trying to alert security and the artists to stop the concert. Right. I think it eventually stopped, but not when it should have. And there have been, I think, at least 8 or 9 deaths. And it's pretty tragic. CG doesn't always like when I bring up these topics because it's often hard to find the humor in it, or like you don't want to be tactless when finding it. Yeah. But like, it was a pretty crazy situation. Yeah. I personally have never really been a fan of Travis Scott's music. Okay. I'm not saying anyone deserved it who went, but like,
I didn't think from that.
Oh, okay. Man. Good. I'm just saying, like, I've never vibed out to one of his songs. Like, I even tried to listen to, like, after it happened, I'm like, wait, I think there are songs I know of his. And I listened and I was like, nothing is catching me. And like, it's just crazy to think of people getting fucking crazy off these songs that I couldn't even like get into connect for to. 10 seconds.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, some people really have different music tastes because I can't with it.
They do. I like, the only song I like by his is the one with him and Drake. And I'm not a Drake fan, but I like the one when he said, I put all my exes and I put them in a group. That's hot. Yeah, that's hot. Yeah, that shit was fire. He said, I get all my exes and I put them in a group. Something. I don't know what else he said, but I like that.
You so, convinced me. I don't know if I've ever heard the song, but you damn did convince me.
Yeah, it's the one. It's what do you say? Out like a light. Something. I don't know.
Actually, I do like that one.
That Drake's part, the out like a light part, but the Travis Scott, he said, I take all my exes and I put them in a group. He was talking about his baby mama. You know, Kylie, yada yada, all this other stuff. That's the only one though. One out of like how many songs he got? So I don't know.
He's like this huge star, and I'm like, what is he? What song is he catapulted him?
That song's tight though. I do know that out like a light song.
Yeah. That song is hot.
That is a good song. So I guess
that's the only one for me. That's it. I'm out. I'm out. It's sad though. It's sad. You know, it reminded me so much of what happened this was years ago, when Diddy did the he did a celebrity basketball game at City College. This is back in the late 80s or early 90s. I think it was early 90s. It was the same type of thing that happened in City College, and people got, you know, like rampled over and squished and everything. And my brother's friend, best friend at that time, got killed. He was like, I think they're probably about 14 years old, maybe something like that. So it reminded me back then. If you look it up, you can look it up and look at that, you know, Puff Daddy or P Diddy or whatever celebrity event in City College.
I don't know what it takes for you to like die from being stepped on. Ugh. That must be pretty terrible, man. Like
pressure. Yeah.
Like yeah, you pressure, suffocate. Right?
Yeah, you suffocate.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, it's just crazy, a brutal right? way to go. And obviously everyone's trying to figure out who to blame. And like, yep. I'm not saying there aren't people to blame, but also sometimes horrific, tragic things happen. You were saying when I first told you about it, that concerts in general can be so fucking dangerous.
I'm 40 now. I don't fuck with concerts no more, man. I went to the Electric Factory to see like 311 or something. You know, it's just it's a pretty happy band and everybody and people, they're jamming into you. And they, you know, and you get, I mean, you really could, you know that you're close to getting trampled when you're at them Jones. So I can't, right. I can't do it anymore. I'm not into the music either, that I need to see it live.
Yeah. I never liked being in there like that in those type of space. You know, like when the standing room, I never liked being in that kind of thing. I have many times. But when I'm in that space, I'm always looking for the exit. I'm looking like, you know what I'm saying? And I have a little size to me. So I try to do the elbow. I need elbow room around me, you know? I'm putting my elbows out like this. Like, I need space. I'm not trying to get killed in no concert, man. Like, I'm not trying to do it. I'm not trying to be the one. So I don't like them. My daughter went to Vegas to this last week, and she didn't come to the screening. I watched my granddaughter. I went and picked her up, and she came to the screening. But my daughter went to Vegas to a big music festival. And this was this past weekend after the Astroworld. So I was like, "Yo, where you going?" I said, "Where you going to be at? Like, don't be in the middle. Like, be either way in the back, or be on the side somewhere. Don't even be in the front." She said, "Oh yeah, I'm not doing that." So she posted a little video, and she's like right there near the front. I'm like, yo, people don't listen. My daughter doesn't listen. You know what I mean? I didn't even call her. I'm gonna talk to her about it. You know,
yeah, that's prime trampling real estate right there. You can't be, yeah, you right can't there. Be up in there.
Yeah, you can't be up in there. You got to be able to at least run like off. You know what I mean? Like away.
Yeah.
And so
also you can't get a beer at them concerts either. You get maybe one beer, but to make your way back out to the beer stand, I mean, I'm sober by the end of the concert.
It's not happening. You peeing on Yeah, I gotta, if I were to go to a place like that, I would have to buy a big water or something so I could empty it out and have something to pee in.
Right. That's a good point.
You're not leaving out. And I'm older, so the prostate, the bladder, it doesn't work the same. You know, when you're older, you know what I'm saying, you got to pee more often or whatever. You can't hold it that long. So, you know, man, I'll be the only old guy with a big, like, water bottle to pee in.
Yo, I be peeing crazy. I pee a lot, dude. It's becoming a problem. I don't know if I had the balls to bring a water bottle to piss in at a concert.
You can wear a pamper. You could wear a pamper, I guess.
You could, you know, they got the sexy fit now. They got the slim fit. I don't know if you've seen the commercials.
Nah, absolutely didn't. Nah.
Yeah, dude, no, they show like
most of them
are for women, and it shows like kind of a hot, curvaceous older woman, like still got it. And she got her Johns on and she got a skirt on. And you can't really see the diaper she's wearing. She's like, still got it, motherfucker. You know, that's what the commercial's like. and then they got the one with the old man, and he's like mountain biking with biker shorts on. And you can't see the diaper under his biker shorts.
Oh, wow.
He's killing it. Old man is killing it.
Killing
and
it.
He pissed himself and nobody knows.
No one knows.
So like, you're right. I could start getting them if I go to a concert and stuff like that.
If you go to the concert. But since we don't like concerts, most likely we're not going to be you know, that we're not going to be a consumer.
Yeah, yeah. Or the kids, you know, the young kids are like, yo, that dude smells like piss.
But I piss.
That dude smells like straight piss. And I'm like, nobody can see my diaper, but they think I smell like straight piss.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to be that. I don't want to be that guy, man. Damn, man. I don't know. I need to take some turmeric, man. Get some inflammation stuff to, you know, reduce the inflammation or something, man. Because I don't want to be that guy, man.
I'm just skipping the concerts, dude. I don't want it to happen either. That's my solution. I'm skipping the concerts.
I would do certain concerts if they had a certain vibe. And, like, I want there to be seating. I have to be able to sit.
Oh, yeah,
seating. I have to be able to pee. Like,
I got to pee and sit. Yeah.
Pee and sit and eat. Access to food at all times. I want to talk about this next thing. I didn't read too much. I've read like the article. I didn't collect all the facts and memorize them, but basically an armed St. Louis woman shot a teen who was carjacking her with another man. And I guess I just bring it up because I'm seeing so many articles in the news about those kinds of things of like, is it okay to defend if someone's breaking in, and to what level is it okay to defend? So if someone breaks into your car or your house, you know, a lot of times it's just instinctual, right? Yeah. So it's hard to say like, oh, you should have shot that person like this instead of there. But I just kind of wanted your guys' thoughts on those things. Like, I don't know. I mean, clearly, and I think she legally had the gun. So, but still, I mean, it's obviously horrible, but I wanted your guys' opinions.
In America, from way back in the old Western days, we were able to protect our property. You know, in the Western times, back in the West, they protected their cattle, right? Their livestock. So why would it be an issue for us to protect our own home, our own, you know, vehicles, our property? It's the same. Mm-hmm. And so I don't understand how sometimes you hear about the people who've been found guilty for shooting someone who entered their house. You know,
right.
You know what I'm saying? I don't even understand the law, and I don't get it. I don't know how it changed or like how they make the decision on what you could protect and how and when you can't. You know, if someone steps into my house, I should be able to kill them right there in my living room floor. You know what I'm saying?
I didn't think you would say that, Todd, but I completely agree.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
I completely agree.
Okay, well, right in the living room floor while I'm eating my cereal. I want to eat my cereal, put like two hot ones in him, and just keep eating. And then call the police when I want to call the police. I don't have to call the police right then. I should be able to, like, handle my business, send my email. Because once I call the police, I'm not going to be able to send my emails. I'm not going to be able to do the stuff I need to do, pay bills and shit. So I want to be able to, like, kill him because he violated my space, finish up my business, start editing. If I got to edit a video, a commercial for a client, I want to edit my commercial. And then when he starts stinking, maybe I'll be like, yo, oh, by the way, I shot this dude for coming in my crib. Oh man, when it just, is he breathing? I said, nah, I shot him like 10 hours ago. Just, I had other stuff to do. Like, I want to be able to have that space to do that. You know what I mean? I think every American citizen should have that space to do it.
Dude, I totally agree. I didn't think we were going to get that from you, Ty. I thought we were going to get an excessive force thing from you, but yeah, I completely agree with that. Straight up.
I need to be able to get rid of who I want to get rid of who violates my stuff. You know what I mean? That I pay for.
Sure.
No one give me anything. You know, but I get gifts, but no one give me like cars and a house and shit. You know what I mean? That's mine. Like, I bought that. I want to be able to protect it. So, yeah. Nah, shoot everybody. Shoot them all. I'm hoping that dude, what's the dude's name? Rittenhouse or whatever the hell his name is. I hope he try to break into my shit one day. Like, I really need a reason to get rid of this guy.
Right.
Well, he says he was, here's the thing. He says, and I don't know all the facts here. Sorry, once again.
I do.
Okay.
Let me hear you out first. I'll let you know.
I read.
We often rely on our guests for more facts than we provide. So thanks, Ty.
Sorry. Okay. So I read like two or three articles about it, but I was still left confused and like not even. There was a protest, I believe. He came. I still don't even know if he was anti the Black Lives Matter protest. Is that what happened? But from what I've read, he had guns pulled to him and then he shot in a defense, Kyle Rittenhouse. That's what I thought I was reading, was that he was defending guns at his head, but I could totally have facts wrong. So, and you don't really know much about it.
Ty, I'm pretty uneducated. So if you would let us know, Ty, what's the facts?
Well, here's one thing. I didn't watch the trial. I didn't watch the trial because I knew what the result gonna be. There's no need for me. The only time I like to do something, I like to, my favorite movies, I like to watch, although I know the ending. Scarface, my favorite movie. I know the ending and it's sad, but I'll still watch it. I don't wanna watch a trial in America's justice when I already know that this kid gonna get off because he squeezed his eyes together real tightly. It made like hippopotamus sounds and no tears came out because he didn't have enough empathy for those who he killed for tears to actually come out. So I did see that. But as far as with him, for one, his first violation, particularly with federal crimes, is that he crossed state lines. That's what happened.
He crossed state lines.
Oh, with his weapon? Yeah, and got weapons as well. You can't do that. That's automatic. The ATF, you automatically get in time right there and there.
So wait, hold understand. On. I'm confused.
He crossed state lines with weapons.
Got it.
And had the, yeah. So he ain't even supposed to be there. So not with weapons. And I think he was 17 years old, right? So I don't know.
That sounds right.
At the time of the crime, I think so. So for me, I don't give him any. I don't think that he should have gotten off. But I didn't watch the case, the trial, so I really can't tell you what evidence the defense came up with and what evidence the prosecutor
they had video of.
Yeah,
one of the other boys holding a gun to him first. I know that there were a bunch of people involved, and once again, I heard various news articles each having a slightly different perspective, so it's hard to fully know exactly what happened, but they did have video of the other guy first pulling the gun to him. So I kind of sat that one out, like, you know, I was like, well, if he really was defending himself, like we were just saying with the home thing, of course, but if there's other stuff involved, you know, I'm just like I said, kind of taking a step back.
Was he a white dude going to fuck with the black people with the Black Lives Matter?
Is that what he was doing? That's
the part I don't know, because the people who he killed were white, right? So, that's what I heard. That's what I heard. Those guys were white. That's what I heard. So I don't really know. But one thing I do look at when it come down to those white guys, although they were white, or if they were white, they were there. They were there on the side because it was a whole George Floyd type of, you know, protest type of thing. So in my eyes, they were on that side of right, not white, but on right. So, but I don't know, like I said, for me to really truly, to be honest, like, you know, really give my thorough opinion about the case itself, I would have to have watched the testimony. I'm not that person who, you know, I'm not a Facebooker who just put out all kind of like, shit that they haven't been seen, but leading to the trial, the stuff that was out and released to the public, just based on that issue, that, and particularly going across state lines and doing all that, I don't understand how he was able to get off.
See, most of our podcast is us talking about shit we don't really know about.
Yeah,
you know, guessing about
that's
some stuff.
That's the fun part about it.
Yeah, that's what I say. Some people say unprofessional. I say fun. You know what I mean?
Well, the people who try to know, The people who try to know everything about everything are sometimes the biggest turds in the world, where they're like, actually, if you correctly read paragraph, blah, blah, and you're just like,
nobody wants to chill with that dude.
Nah. Nobody wants to fuck that dude. So he might know all the facts, but he ain't getting good pussy.
That dude's
so,
not really fucking that much.
He's not really doing that guy's not doing much. he ain't doing much.
I research a decent amount, and then the Kyle Rittenhouse thing, it became clear that I could research that for days. Like, there were so many different perspectives, and to watch the whole hearing, and it's just like, I've got other stuff going on too. So I was like, I want to touch on it, get your guys' opinions. Also, like I said about the woman who shot the teen while getting carjacked, because for me, I agree. Like, if I was sleeping in my bed and someone broke in, I don't care who would it, you, I'm fearing my life. I'm fearing, am I about to get murdered, raped, tortured? Like, I go into primal protection mode.
Yeah.
Tortured.
Yeah.
Tortured. Haven't you seen the movie Seven?
Yeah, it's a movie.
Yeah, definitely.
But I've seen
there are some sick motherfuckers out here who
they are though.
Yes.
They are, man.
And if someone's coming in an aggressive way, breaking into my home, I am going apeshit. I am going to bite whatever I need to, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going fucking just primal, like I'm calling on all my deities, and like, you know, I don't.
The problem is a few bad apples ruined it for the regular criminals. The regular criminals who would just come in to steal your shit, you know, the sick fucks, you know, the few sick fucks out there, they kind of ruined it. Where it's like, I have to shoot you because you might be one of them. You know, so the regular criminals.
Even regular criminals, if you're breaking into my house, you don't know my story. You don't know how hard I've worked. If you go to take something like my laptop, you are fucking up my life. So you're breaking in. Now, if I knew it was just a regular criminal, no, I wouldn't go for death.
What's your laptop? Like a 2012 MacBook? I'm just kidding, baby. I'm just kidding.
You can't protect the 2012 Macs though. You gotta let them have that, man. Just don't cause any friction. Just unhook it for them. Say, hey, wait a minute, I'm gonna unhook this. And do you want this wireless mouse? Because this is kind of hot. It don't keep you bound to anything. I'm a mix, right? I'm liberal when it comes down to social programs, you know, like education, yada yada. I'm more conservative because I don't want to pay much in taxes and other stuff, you know what I mean? So I'm like, I'm a mixture. So I lean towards getting rid of you if you violate me, like my house or something like that. Like, I lean towards that. That's more of a conservative stance, to be honest with you. So I'm more conservative. Yeah, I'm more conservative when it comes down to that. Now, we talk about providing universal pre-K, I'm all for it. Then I'm on the left.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to come and take my stuff. I'm on the right.
Exactly.
See, the left, the liberals, they let you to take anything. Oh, yo, you come in. Yeah, no problem. You know, they fix them a meal while they steal all this shit from them. I'm not going to make you a meal. I'm not going to make you a sandwich while you out here, you know, running, you know, going through my all the rooms and taking my watches and stuff like that. You know, I'm not gonna do it. I'm gonna have to. So it's both sides, you know. But we human. We're not all one way, right? You know, we're not all like to the left or all to the right. Yeah. So that's how I lean towards that. You know. If Rittenhouse really truly someone point a gun at him, how he know he was pointing at him? Did someone come up to him like this, or was it? Because it was tons of people. Rittenhouse was never by himself. With no one around them, you know. So I don't know. I think it may have one. You got this all white jury. Mm-hmm. You have this judge that I did catch some stuff of him, but I read stuff in the newspaper on some of the stuff that he was doing throughout the trial that was leaning more towards the defense benefit. you know, and to me, it was just giving him too much sympathy. Now, take me, if I was to, you know, have a gun and go across state lines or do anything like that, come on, maybe I would be buried before the trial even started.
Yeah.
So,
and yeah. You know, and people who don't acknowledge that truth, I just can't even, like, you just don't even argue with them anymore because it's so blatant. No, it's so obvious. It's like they're choosing to be blind. And it's like,
yeah,
you know, that karma is real, right? And truth is real. But, and yeah, I do think things are slowly changing, like maybe not quick enough in many different areas where things need to change. But I think just people as a collective learning how to heal properly and communicate and what it means to be happy and enlightened. Like, as you know, I'm very spiritual. And what I love about CG is like, he wouldn't call himself like, I am spiritual necessarily, but he's just a good human. Same with you. And I think we just need like the people who give off joy and light and aren't extreme, like they know they're human and they just have unique point of views and they know how to get along. Like, I think we're going to keep pushing forward and things are going to keep changing for the better. We're kind of bringing in a new way of being, and it involves humor too. Like, when tragic things happen, you're allowed to bring light into there and it doesn't make you a monster. And it kind of brings back to what your movie's about, just in the sense of trauma and healing. And it's like, there are horrific things that are going on here on this planet. Instead of burying them, it's like talking about it, realizing there are ways to actually be happy and spread joy.
I actually wanted to ask you, Ty, like, because I do feel like there might be trauma that I have that I don't even know how you're supposed to like address it or fix it. Or, so what's the movie say? What's that message? How do you address take care of it?
Good point. Good question, man. And Amanda, see, I have never been to therapy myself, right? So, but I'm a creator, and many creatives, we tend to allow our work to provide that sense of therapy. We express ourselves through the body of our work. So with Amanda, I put her kind of as not fully, but partially a reflection of me, because like what I get from my work, what I get from writing, what I get from directing, what I get from being part of the process is I get a lot of comfort. That's a space that I get to, although sometimes it's a collaborative effort, like creating Amanda was a collaborative effort. Although that's the truth, at the same time, though, it always allowed me to kind of get into my own head and express myself onto the screen, onto the paper, onto my computer. So Amanda's the same way. She's an artist. She never got therapy. She never got help. But her artwork speaks to her. And there's a part in the movie to where she's she's resting on the couch. And she's looking at this, she's staring at this painting, and she starts to talk to the painting. And she was like, why do you keep looking at me? I'm sorry. She said, why do you keep talking to me? And then she looks at it, and then she goes to the painting, she picks it up from the corner, she replaces it with whatever's on the easel. She replaces, she puts it on the easel, take the other painting down, and then she looks at it while she's sitting on the stool. And she says, I hear you. And then that's when she leans forward and she starts to like touch it up. And that was the final piece that she actually submitted for her curation. And so that message of what I'm saying, part of that message, what I'm saying there is that we put the stuff into our thing, onto our stuff. So like you guys may put your work into your into your set, right? Your comic set. And you're hoping that the people can connect to it in the audience. Some of the stuff that you share about your personal life, particularly Kate, you know, Kate used to really speak about her relationship with her son, which I really love. I really admire that. And there's a lot of fun in that too. But you have a parent that's in the audience who may be going through something with their kid, something that the kid did at school or something that the kid may be misunderstood or just anything, Kate can probably help someone. That's how I look at art. I look at art as being able to help someone connect to it in the building. So in the movie, I'm not going to say, I can't tell you this. I can't share something because I don't want to, you know, give things away. But if you watch the movie, there's some things that you may be able to catch for yourself that you don't make the same mistake that Amanda makes in the movie. You know, and that's how I think one way of dealing with trauma, you know, and at least that's the way that she dealt with her trauma. But something happened in the movie by which her trauma that was unsolved, unsettled, leaned towards her making a certain decision that if she was fully helped, she wouldn't have made the decision. So a person who's never been to therapy I'm definitely an advocate of therapy these days, but I have never been an advocate of it because in the Black community, we never dealt with that kind of stuff back in the days. We never dealt with a psychiatrist or a psychologist or meds. We were never on the meds and shit like that. That was a white thing. It was not in the Black community. That's not something, you know, we were taught in the beginning. I'm a 70s kid. We were taught to pull the bootstraps up and you get but that's not healthy. That's not a healthy thing for my. So what I do though, man, I'm pro therapy, although I haven't been to one yet, but I'm willing to go to unpack some things in the past, you know. But yeah, so that's kind of my thing right there. I think that we should be responsible for one another and to ourselves though.
Yeah, and supportive, less judgmental, and less focused on external appearances in the sense of how someone is or how they're doing. Yeah. Even like, I think the way we try to judge if a person's successful is a little off. Yes, you can look if someone has a nice job and money, sure. That is something to admire, but at the same time, like, are they a good person? Do they have good morals? Do you laugh around them? Or do you start to feel like you're being drained around them? And just starting to kind of value the things that actually feed us in terms of life force and joy. I think as we start to switch our focus collectively, that's going to really help because we all really just want to be happy. I know that sounds pretty trite, but it's just true.
So.
It's true.
And, you know, I know a lot of New York.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, you can go.
What? Now, I know a lot of New York comedians who go to therapy. A lot of New York comedians go to therapy. A lot of them. I've hired them. I know. Like, we talked about it talk about it all the time. So, and I think sometimes, you know, with certain professions, you kind of end up needing it, you know, because then a lot of times you'll lean like a performer, a comedian or something like that. When they're in those nightclubs, a lot of times they hit the bottle as a way to solve certain issues that they may have, and it numbs them day after day in a comedy club, day after day performing a musician, day after day, you know, but that never works, right? So, you know, got to unpack it. But yeah, what are you going to say, okay?
I was going to say that I went to college to be an art teacher. I was an art teacher for a while until I kind of had to leave to keep doing comedy. But I just started painting a lot again and I'm about to sell my paintings. And I sold my first one because I never wanted to sell them. I was so attached to my work I still do pour my soul into it. But when you know the thing your painting's going to be sold, it's easier for me to say bye to it. But it's funny because I literally just sold my first painting. And I'm pretty excited because I've been an artist my whole life. Nice. So yeah, I like the theme of your movie, obviously.
Did Eric buy it?
What'd you say?
Did Eric buy it? Who bought it? Did Eric buy it?
Did Siege? Is that who you're saying?
Did your man buy it? Yeah. Yeah.
No. No, okay. I mean, I can't spend my money on stuff that, you know, novelty items, because I don't make money like that. So, you know, in the future, at some point, maybe I'll be able to afford more of a painting. But for now, she sells a painting that puts some food on our table. I'm not buying them. That'll be a nice gesture if I had some dough.
He's surrounded by them as well. Like, what I do want to do,
there's 58 pictures hanging up in our two bedroom apartment.
What I do want to do,
congratulations.
I want to take a hot picture of him and do a painting, not with his face in it, because like that's too personal for someone to buy. But I kind of want to do an abstracted. He's quite the hunk, so I asked. Okay. We'll see if he lets me.
All right, that's what's up.
I'm 40 years old. My knees are going.
No, they're not.
Elbows are hurting. Joints. My fingers hurt. You know, like shit, like that. Yeah. Come on, Kate. No. You got to get a young model.
No,
we'll scout one. We'll get somebody from Craigslist.
He looks good. He likes to. Your self esteem sometimes really needs a lift.
My self esteem is not great. I'm not gonna lie to you.
He self deprecates himself. So people do that all the time.
Artists, I mean, it kind of works.
Artists do that all the time.
Because like he has such low self-esteem that I'm like, oh, like he, you know, like he's not cocky. He's not like, I can do better than you. Like he doesn't do any jerky stuff. It's sad because he doesn't see how great he is a lot of the time, but it's also like, oh, like he's, yeah.
He knows.
That just sounded really mean.
He knows. He knows. He knows that you wouldn't be with him if he wasn't. So he knows.
Oh,
I know. No, the way I think of it is, I think she must have really low standards. And I'm like, sweet. I'm like, you know what? I'm cashing in on this situation.
Cashing in.
So that's the way I think of it. I don't know. I don't know what the reality is necessarily. I gotta go to therapy.
I do have a question for you, for both of you. So, what's y'all next step? Like, are y'all trying to do movies, writing scripts? Like, what's going on?
Well, we have separate answers there.
I mean, I have like a regular day job. I'm not like I'm not an actual comedian, Ty. So she does the actual comedy.
He's written some of the funniest shit I've ever read or like heard. He just needs to do it and take the stuff and like to bring it to the stage because it's unique, weird, and funny. It's like,
right.
His mind is very unique in that way. And I'm like, you just need to do it, but we'll see if he actually does. But I've been trying to push him to just, he will. We're going to do a little stand-up show around here. He's going to get up. My son wants to start doing comedy again. He's 15. Oh, okay. He's got some shit to say. I said, I'm fair game. Go for it.
Go for it.
So we're going to have something and I hope he will do it because written a book. He's written an incredible fucking book. So he poured his soul into it. So I don't like it when he pretends he doesn't have those things. But I'll let him answer. And then I also am writing a book. And yes, I'm interested in movies, TV shows, all of it.
What I do is deliver packages and then and crossing my fingers that Kate gets famous. And then I got a nice man cave in her basement. You know, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Like, sex slave.
Simple life, man. Simple
and
life.
Then if on the way they need some big goofy simple bastard life. In their movie that she's in or whatever, maybe she suggests I be in it and then we go do this thing.
Goofy bastard. Such a hunk. Like, I know, Ty, you don't want to hear it, but he's like,
Ty, nor me. Neither. No man wants to hear this. None of our listeners.
No man.
Whatevs.
Nah. I would say this before we close, because I know y'all have to go. Y'all have a hard stop. My granddaughter, she came to the screening, right? Both of them, Friday and Saturday. And later on, I think it was like the next day, I think it was Sunday, she was like, Papa, she said, have you made any other movies? I said, yeah, baby girl, you haven't seen my other movie? She said, no. And then she was thinking, she said, no. I said, yeah, I made this little short movie a few years ago called Mingle. I said, it's really short. She said, how short? I said, it's like 11 minutes. It's not long like Amanda. She said, oh. She said, let me see it. So I said, when we get home, I'll let you see it. Got home, got to the house. She was playing. I said, I like to test my granddaughter, right? You know, see if she's really interested in her papa stuff. So she went upstairs, played, and she came back down like about an hour, maybe 30 minutes, an hour later. She was like, papa, she said, I want to see the movie. I said, oh, you really want to see it? I said, all right, I'll kindly show you, right? So I let her watch the movie. She rewinded it to the beginning and saw it again on her own, right? She did it, right? And I was like, I said, what's happening here? I'm looking at her like, this is strange. It's very peculiar. This 7-year-old girl is interested in my movie, right? Because the movie opens up with the guy on the toilet talking to his mom, which is what I do. That's why I wrote that. She watched it. She said, Papa, this is funny. I was like, all right. She said, you know, she said, I want you to write, make a Christmas movie. I said, you want to make a Christmas? I said, I don't have a Christmas script. She said, well, I'm making a chapter book. I'm writing a chapter book. I said, oh, okay. I said, so why don't you write the chapter book and I make the movie from your book? She said, it's going to take a long time, Papa. I said, why, girl? She said, because it's going to be 100 chapters. I said, baby girl, I said, it can't be 100 chapters. You need to slow down. Do 10 chapters. I'll write the script and then we make the movie. So she just started like, bright. She just lit up. The next morning, when I'm about to take her back to where you know where they live at, she said, Papa, she said, so who are we gonna get to be in it? I said, I know we gotta when I write the script, we talk about that thing, but we're gonna have to get people to audition. And she said, Papa, say, you know what? I said, what, baby girl? She said, I'm gonna be one of the kids. I said, you damn right, it's your movie. You're the diva, it's your movie, you cast yourself. You know what I mean? So aww. I say that long story about my little baby girl to let you know, Eric. So to be like, yo, just go ahead and do, you know, go ahead and do the damn thing, man. Like, you know, you gotta just go ahead and do it. Don't self-deprecate yourself. Just go ahead and write, put the pen to the pad, put it out there. If it bombs, then it bombs, you write something else. If it bombs and it bombs, you write something else. And then, but the reason why I brought it up in the first place, because I would love to see y'all as a team writing some scripts and doing skits or doing something. You know what I mean? Like, the podcast is dope, but that team, I think it could work. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Kate been doing this shit for a long time, so I think that you guys coming together and just doing something and just putting it out there, man. I think why wouldn't it work?
I'll tell you an idea I have for us. Y'all connected. Once we end the podcast, I'll run. I don't want to give the title.
Oh, you don't want the listeners to hear?
No. All right. Well, I guess we're going to wrap it up. Thank you so much, Ty, for coming on.
Yeah. Always a pleasure when you're on.
Thank you.
Where can people find the film and all and you and everything?
Yeah. So go to amandathefilm.com. That's amandathefilm.com. And when I book this show, book the screenings in February and forward, I'm gonna put the schedule up there. So I'm always have the schedule up there. So you can see like little interviews and just different things that I post on that page, just to kind of keep abreast on what's happening with Amanda. Some people be like, oh man, if it's not on IMDb, it's not legit. Well, asshole, go to IMDb and you know and put up Amanda 2022, and it's up there. So, you know what I mean? You'll be able to find it. Yeah, it's legit. It's a legit movie. And I don't mean to call y'all, you know, that bad word. That was a bad word. I hope my mom don't see this. But just go ahead and check it out. You know, it's important, man. When you support independent filmmaking, you're supporting a lot more. I'm putting people to work. You know, everyone on my movie got paid. Everyone. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, except for the PAs, they're not supposed to get paid. They're supposed to do what they do for the love of, you know, the love of it, but everyone else got paid. And so we're just trying to employ people, man, and try to create some good work, mm-hmm. You know?
Awesome.
But I do need the support in New York and New Jersey. I need that support. Hopefully we can sell out the screening like I sold out down here. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll be there, Ty. Yeah.
All right. So I appreciate it. Yeah. I keep y'all posted.
Yeah. And thank you everyone for listening. I am starting to sell my paintings. I'll be posting them within the month, as well as doing custom original requests. So everyone look out for that. It's a new, like I said, I've been asked if I would sell my paintings in the past and it was always a no. So this is a new thing for me to like open up Right. And even see if people, one person so far, but to see if other people would want them.
How can I see the paintings? Is that one behind you?
That's one that I did. I mean, I'll show you the full thing when we stop. That one I did in college. It's a huge one. It's one of my bigger canvases I've ever painted. And I'll show you some of the other stuff I've painted. We'll see your thoughts. Some of them are out there and weird. So CG, they're all over the house. He doesn't always know how he feels, but yeah.
Congratulations.
I'm making some weird ones, but thank you everyone for listening.
Yeah, and congrats Ty on the success with your film, brother.
Yeah.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. All right, bye.